It's Consumer Protection Day on the Lee Rayburn Show, and the truth is there is no corner of Wisconsin where you won't find some fraudster posing as a bank, retail store, or insurance company representative trying to bilk you out of your money. That's why the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is here today for the hour to help us stay safe. If you have a story to share or a question for our guests, you can call 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Back again, Michelle Reinert, Administrator of DATCAP's Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Michelle, welcome to you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Also back, Michael Domke, Director of DATCAP's Bureau of Consumer Protection. And Michael, thanks for being here.
Hi, Lee. Good to see you.
I want to start with this gold bar scam that I am just learning about now has taken in more than one person in Wisconsin. Set the story up a little bit with somebody who was notified by the somebody purporting to be from the Federal Trade and FTC, Federal Trade Commission, saying that their money was being laundered by criminal cartels and that they needed to get their money out and they needed to convert it to gold bars. And then the FTC picked up the gold bars. And in one case, this one person lost their life savings, more than $2 million. But it's not the only case, Michelle.
No, it's not the only case. We've had this in our talking points, if you will, for over a month now from this consumer who contacted DATCAP about their experience and trying to get the word out. We've also heard from other regions of the state of a consumer that's lost over $400,000 to this case, and working with the FBI, know of other cases as well of individuals that are just losing significant amounts of money. Life savings, just very impactful dollars that are being lost to this. And you did a great high-level summary, but so everyone really understands this one, I'm going to break it down with a little bit more detail here, and that's the scammer does impersonate the Federal Trade Commission, and they contact the consumer and convince them that their finances have been caught up in a scheme that does involve the criminal cartels or money laundering. Sometimes they talk about border issues and transporting money, so that can vary a little bit. But then they claim that they can help this consumer. But in order to help, the scammer convinces the consumer that they have to sign a non-disclosure agreement and really pressure them to not talk about or communicate about this situation with their closest friends and family members, that they just need to keep it to themselves because now they're involved in this sting, if you will, to try and catch these individuals. So the scammer then talks the consumer through the process of liquidating their life savings because they're going to protect it. They're helping them. They have you transfer it to a bank. They convert it to hundreds of gold bars. And that next stage is that the scammer arrives at the consumer's house to pick up the gold bars. They drive away and the consumer never hears from or sees this scammer ever again. And, you know, it's more than devastating. It's just horrific in what's happening here. But they're using those tactics of urgency, high pressure, the threats of consequence because they're involved in this illegal activity or their money is. So they're using that threat. And of course, they're impersonating trusted government entities like the Federal Trade Commission. And so all of that is compounded to manipulate your emotions and get you to think in a different way. You're not taking time to process the information. You're not talking about it with friends and family that can help you identify those red flags because there is such fear of consequences and impact of your money going on here.
From the outside looking in, it would seem that I would know this is a scam right away and I would be able to detect this. And if it happens once, you know, more than $2 million, that's one thing, but it's happened more than once, which means there is a hook there that gets people, that there is a susceptibility to falling for this. And I suppose it might have to do with concerns that your money is being laundered, that you are yourself being threatened with being involved in a criminal conspiracy, that your own freedoms might be at stake if you don't take action immediately and don't tell anybody else about it. Is that the gist?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are really trying to, like you said, put the fear of acting and trusting that individual. That's social engineering at its finest. It's a talent. It's a skill these scammers practice. They certainly build themselves up, you know, scam after scam until they can get to that point. Anyone can fall victim to this. No one is craftier than these scammers. So I don't want people to just think that, okay, well, I'm immune from this, right. So I don't need to worry about it. We all need to work together on this one. And of course, we mentioned the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They are actively looking at this. There's someone running the money, picking up these gold bars. So there is activity from that law enforcement side on these cases. And it's really important. It's imperative that if consumers receive this call, that they report it. If they get involved and lose any portion of their finances, that they report this scam, so we can continue to look into this matter.
If I were being investigated for being involved in a criminal conspiracy that might involve money laundering with a drug cartel, would it be the FTC that would notify me? How would I know that I might be a suspect?
I'll let Michael take that one. No, certainly, you know, you're going to hear from law enforcement. It won't be the Federal Trade Commission that is contacting you about that. If you have an issue, you're going to hear from other law enforcement, local and federal law enforcement. If you're involved in some kind of activity there, they will come, they will provide you with badges, but they won't be calling you and trying to convince you over the phone. But you need to know the baseline is you never need to move your money to protect it. Consumers aren't going to be asked to be involved in stings against banks that might be manipulating your money or criminal cartel that are involving your money. You can talk to your bank representatives. You can ask them about this situation. And if you don't get anything with the teller, ask to speak to the manager. But there are different people. Go down to your bank and have a conversation, and they can help file reports as well about these phone calls to make sure that the authorities are aware of what is circulating in communities.
One of the central themes to these scams has to be the isolation that they try to create and how they don't want you to tell anybody else. The biggest red flag I can think that runs the gamut of all these scams is their insistence that you stay quiet. And I would think anytime somebody tells you you can't tell anybody else or seek out a third party, that would be an indicator that this is most likely fraud.
Absolutely. It is one of the top three red flags that we have. And I hope that one that everyone can just make sure that they plant that seed in their brain that anytime you are asked to keep it a secret, we see it in the romance scams, the grandparent mm-hmm. scams, the friend and family scams. Keep things a secret. Don't tell anyone that this is happening. Even in prize scams, when you've won the big award, don't tell anyone about this because we're going to do an announcement. Well, that's the one you should be able to shout from the rooftops and if you want that you've won this wonderful prize. So that definitely is something we need to be sure that everyone just has an immediate reaction to. I have to keep it a secret. Time to hang up the phone, rip up the letter, close the door, disconnect contact.
And again, because this is some masterful social engineering and they have perfected the formula, it could happen to anybody, and it does. Let's go to your calls and questions now for our consumer protection expert guests, Michelle Ryan and Michael Domke here at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk at WPR.org. And we'll start with Martin in Soldiers Grove. Hi, Martin.
Hi.
What do you have for us today?
I'm calling about, I think it's a scam, you know. I get a call from this, it's always a different number, and they ask me about Medicare, you know. I am retired, you know.
Sure.
But the first thing they ask me if I'm on Medicare, if I have Medicare Part A and B. And you know, they kind of do it in a roundabout way. They kind of start talking about how are you and all this and that. And when it first started, you know, I kind of went along with it for a little while. I said, yeah, I have part A and B. And then what happens is they switch you to another person, you know. They kind of put you on hold for a little bit, switch you to another person. And then that other person starts asking questions. And when they start asking these questions, I always think, well, they should know these answers, you know. And that's why I said, and it was a scam. But these people, they do not give up. They will call me about 6-7 times a day. I'm not exaggerating, you know. And what happened, and this has been going on for like probably like 3 months. At one point, I saw on television, it was a commercial, and they had the number for Medicare, and I actually called that number. I told them about these calls that I get, and I asked them, do you think is this a scam, or is there something new with Medicare? And they said, yeah, it's a scam. And then they just gave me a number for that to be put on a do not call list, you know. And after I called that Medicare number, I didn't get those calls for maybe like about a week or two, and then it started again. I mean, like 6-7 times a day, at least.
It starts to get at your quality of life. It starts to eat away at you. I hear that, Martin. 3 months, 6-7 calls a day, the same sort of Medicare calls soliciting their information. Michael Domke, we've heard about this before, but what can Martin do?
Well, Martin did the right thing by starting with calling the legitimate Medicare and confirming whether the call was a scam. Also, signing up for the Do Not Call list helps a little bit. What happens here with this Medicare calls is really a wide variety, and this is one of the top scam calls that we receive that people report to us at DebtCap each month. And what's unique about it is there's a lot of variations to the scam. And so Martin was talking about them confirming, you know, which plans he had and potentially trying to switch him to another one that would have maybe coverage he doesn't need or sign him up for different devices or other programs that might not benefit him. But it starts, you know, really with reaching out and confirming some information. And then it kind of cascades from there into a lot of different areas. And we get these throughout the year. We know that open enrollment is approaching in October, and so we're going to see it spike, you know, like it always does, because scammers take advantage of that time when consumers are maybe expecting a phone call, because there's a lot of other social organizations that do support Medicare and legitimate businesses that do provide these services. And so this is why this one is most common, or very common, because it's difficult to discern what's a scam and what's not. And this is why it's critical to just pause and take a second and say, you know, I don't think this is real, and then hanging up and calling the legitimate Medicare or the service provider and saying, all right, I think you may have called me. This is what the questions were. And you're probably going to hear what Martin heard, and they're going to tell you, no, that was a scam and that's not legitimate. But one thing I want to emphasize, when you're getting those phone calls, please treat them like any other call and treat your Medicare ID number as your Social Security number. Mm. It's very valuable. It has the same impacts if you give that away. And there's a lot of things that scammers can use with that number that you're not even going to be aware of. And so it's real critical to be attentive to what they're asking for.
So hold on to that Medicare ID number. Do not let that go. And I would think that any cold call, any call solicitation should be taken with a heavy dose of skepticism.
Unfortunately, we're in a scenario now where any call that you receive, you just have to question. You know, where we're looking at that, how did that communication start? Did they unexpectedly call you, or did you reach out? And we really try and emphasize really the safest ways when you're initiating that conversation and you're going to a place that you trust, it, you know, the phone number, the website, whatever it is. You know, other thing Martin brought up that's challenging is, and especially it's unique a little bit about Medicare, is when these scammers have an opportunity to engage with someone, they use that and they trigger that and they say, well, we know that this individual will talk to us. Well, that's tough for Medicare participants because oftentimes they do have to talk to someone. And so it is hard to filter out between what's real and what's not. And so, you know, sometimes you say don't engage at all, but it's a little bit tougher to use that kind of blanket statement with Medicare because you do have to participate. And that's why it's so important to be cautious in this particular area.
Michelle, is there a way to stop the hundreds of calls that Martin's receiving from these people posing as Medicare?
Well, signing up on the Do Not Call list is going to help filter out the legitimate businesses that are calling to try and solicit Medicare. As far as the scams, we need to try not to engage. Don't press the buttons when you're speaking on the phone. If you can have any type of filter through your telephone provider, that they can activate that. There are apps that help with the blacklist, you know, when these calls get reported, that's going to help. But if you have a smartphone, paying attention to the information that your phone is telling you, many of these numbers are indicating that they might spam likely, unknown caller. Not answering the phone and not engaging is going to be a huge step in making sure that your information's lower on a lead generation list. It will be of lower value because you don't engage versus if you engage, answer, discuss in any way, your value for scammers goes up on that list because they're more likely to be able to hook you and entice you during a call because you're willing to engage. So your number becomes higher value. And that's not where we actually want to be. We all want to be, you know, on the high valued list for someone, but this, we don't want to be picked for this game. You know, we want to stay on the bench type situation. So those are different tools and technology together, methods we can do in our own human habits, as well as the tools that we can use to try and minimize these calls from coming in. And then, of course, reporting it to consumer protection so we can be sure that information's getting to the Federal Trade Commission. These numbers are getting on that blacklist.
You made an interesting point that I just want to highlight here, that if you put your number on the Do Not Call list, it is the legitimate solicitors that will not call you. So then if you put your number on the Do Not Call list and then get solicitations over the phone, you can assume that that is likely to be illegitimate.
That's the way we look at it. It's either a business that's not following the regulations of the state, and so do you want to engage with them, or it's a scammer.
Yeah.
So it helps act as a filter for you knowing, you know, who you want to, you know, speak with on the phone.
Martin, thank you for the call, and let's go next to Mary in Madison. Mary, hi.
Hi. Well, I got a call from the provider of cable and internet at my place. And so in Wisconsin, it's Spectrum. Yeah. And I got a call saying it was Spectrum, and they quoted to me the prices that I pay for the services and said they could offer me a discount. And so, you know, that seemed like a good thing. I would like a discount. They went through how much they would reduce it. And then at the end of the call, they said, and, you know, in order to get this benefit, you need to order 2 iPhones, which we will deliver to you, but then you have to return them unopened, and then you'll get the discount. And I had listened to them the whole way, and I go, oh, that sounds really suspicious. Why would I order something I don't really want? Oh, that's the way of it, and, you know, Apple's agreed to this, and it's all on the up and up. And I said, yes. And so then I got contacted with the delivery of these iPhones, and by then I had called the provider, and they said, well, absolutely refuse delivery. And so that's all I've done, but you're pointing out that I should call the Better Business Bureau or somebody else. Because
yeah.
I don't know what's, you know, it's totally scammy. And
well, I'm glad that you did refuse delivery, right, Mary?
I did refuse delivery.
All right. Thank you for that. And Michael, if somebody called me and wanted to reduce it and claiming to be my internet provider and said that they could save me money, I would be inclined to listen. But, you know, there were red flags here. And Mary sounded like she called Spectrum and Spectrum told her what was what. And she took the next best steps. But what about when it comes to reporting?
Well, Mary certainly did the right thing, and I'm glad she picked up on those red flags. This particular scam is the evolution of one that we've seen start about a year ago. And it really started with Spectrum consumers who legitimately did order phones and subscribe to phone service. And there was a scam in which they were intercepting those phones and then asking for numbers, and they were either taking over those phone accounts or getting the phones back. And as we bring up, and this is why these types of things that we're talking about right now are so important, because as we bring awareness to that scam, then the kind of scammers have to change their tactic. And so now you hear them calling and saying, hey, we're promoting this service. And then they're kind of tacking on, well, you need to order these phones. And it starts by legitimate. It seems, as you laid out, a good idea. Maybe we can get a discount. But then all of a sudden, it's like, well, why are we doing this? And that's by reporting it to consumer protection and letting us know that this is happening. So we have an opportunity not to help the consumer. If, in fact, maybe they did provide some information, maybe they did send those phones, we can give tips to make sure that there was a compromise of their identity. We can limit that, kind of safeguard a few things to give some tips, but then also help share awareness of, oh, you know what, there's a new variation that's happening. And so when we're having opportunities to talk to the community, either through our outreach program or our media partners, we can make sure anyone else who gets that phone call understands, I heard about this, I shouldn't do it. And so it's unfortunate, but it is what we see through and through in kind of, I will say, the scam environment of a constant evolution and changing tactics.
That DATCAP Consumer Protection Hotline, Michael?
1-800-422-7128.
That is 422-7128. Mary, thank you so much for the call, and you are not alone. It is happening. And what happens when these folks get those phones? If Mary were to go through with it and return those phones to the people who are soliciting them, what happens to Mary's account and those phones?
Yeah, so one thing that we've seen is that that scammer, once those phones are delivered, calls and asks for those EIM numbers of the phone, the sequence
the ID
number
numbers,
that
yeah.
provider of the phone, and they take over, and then you're left with the bill. They take over the phone and the account, or they have you ship the phones to the scammer and not back to Spectrum. So it's really great that Mary called Spectrum using reliable information that she had from her bill or looking it up herself versus just contacting any phone number that that original caller had left with her as follow-up details, because she could have gotten back in touch with that scammer then. And that the real Spectrum said, no, just return them. I mean, refuse delivery so they won't follow through and she can get out of it. Now, monitor her bill, of course, since they claim to have billing information and offer this discount, you're always going to want to be monitoring that information. And this is where it becomes so important that consumers, when they want to reduce their bill, take the initiative yourself. Don't wait for that phone call to come in, because do you ever know who you're really talking to when that phone call comes in, unless it's a return phone call and they say, oh yeah, we got your message from Tuesday at 12 and you know that you called them Tuesday over your lunch hour. And so that's all clear.
Mary, thank you so much for the call. Going back to the gold bar scam for a moment, Cindy emailed to ask why the gold bar scams don't raise red flags with financial institutions. I've got about a minute here. Do they raise some red flags with financial institutions? If I go get all the gold bars I have with my life savings, does somebody red flag that?
They do. It raises a red flag, and there's been a lot of discussion about whether what their role is in allowing one of their members to liquidate their money. But usually they're not purchasing the gold bars from the same financial institution. They're liquidating their money and buying them through a different broker or some type of gold provider. And so when they're going through that type of marketplace, it just looks like it could be an investment and doesn't seem quite as suspicious.
That's Michael Domke. He's the director of the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Bureau of Consumer Protection. Also joining us, Michelle Reinen, administrator of DATCAP's Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. And again, that Consumer Protection hotline is 1-800-422-7128. Our phone number to join the conversation, share your story, or ask your questions is 1-800-642-1234. Also have some emails here, and you can send yours along the way at talk@WPR.org. We'll get right back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to WPR News. It's Consumer Protection Day on the Lee Rayburn Show. And one of the things I love about this day, when we have this opportunity to catch up with our consumer protection experts, is while they do some heavy lifting themselves, you also participate in the conversation in a way that helps others. And that is indisputable in hearing some of your stories, asking some of your questions. So I want to invite you to our conversation. I want to invite you to share your story of possible scams, fraudsters, thieves, and liars, what you found at 1-800-642-1234 or email us talk@wpr.org. Our guests, Michelle Reinert, Administrator of DATCAP's Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, and Michael Domke, Director of DATCAP's Bureau of Consumer Protection. And right back to your calls now. We'll go to Bruce in La Crosse next. Hi, Bruce.
Good morning. Say a beautiful day here in La Crosse. I have been for maybe 10 years using the following on my voicemail. I say, thanks for calling. I only answer calls that I recognize, which is true. I don't answer any other calls. And I say, please leave a message. I almost never receive a message.
Really?
Dude, works perfect.
So do fraudsters not leave messages, Michelle?
These Autobots tend not to leave messages. You will get plenty of messages with certain kinds of calls. The Medicare scam will probably leave a call. Some of the Spectrums, I've seen them on my own phone. I hear them on my father's phone as well. But there are plenty of ones that are labeled scam likely. There's no message. There's nothing ever there to follow on. And that's perfectly fine. I love what he's doing. And it works well. It sends the signal to friends and family members that I'm available to take your call. I'm screening things.
And what about the idea of not picking up if you do not recognize the number and allowing it to go to voicemail? You don't have to answer every call, which I think feels antithetical from the old days of phones, where when it rings, you pick it up. That's what you do when it rings. But that's not necessary anymore, is it?
Absolutely not, because that message will be left. If you have contacts in your phone, it's going to trigger that individual coming up on your contact and be labeled. And we live in a different time where our phones are sitting next to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have two of them sitting here with me right now, whereas we had the answering machines because we weren't at the home with the landline when it rang and we had to make callbacks. And no one says, well, I'm live on the air right now, I need to answer these two phones for individuals. Someone will need to leave a message if they want me to reach out to them when the program's over. So there is nothing that says we have to answer immediately.
And I think of a younger person than me who said, who even makes phone calls anymore? So, but fraudsters also come via email. They'll come through your text message. Just because you don't answer your phone doesn't mean they're not trying to target you. Bruce, it's a great couple of ideas, and I thank you for sharing them. We'll go to Vivian in Green Bay next. Vivian, hi.
Hi, I have a general question and then a more specific one. But the general one is, I thought I heard something in the news about throughout the state of Minnesota that there was targeting cyber hacking throughout the state, particularly for commercial entities. Did you hear anything like that?
Michael, any word?
I have not heard anything about that.
I've seen some stories about hackers trying to get into some water supplies, but that did not impact Wisconsin. I am unclear about Minnesota, Vivian. What's your second question?
Okay. Medtronic in Minnesota provides a lot of health assistive aid devices. And I received a letter from them saying that they had been hacked. And in discussing it with my son, and I have to say the letter was certainly seemed legitimate. I wasn't questioning that as much as the offer to have 2 years of protection, fraud protection, and some other nice advantages. And I've never, ever taken any of those offers up because my credit report has been frozen for about 14 years.
Oh.
But my son suggested people might not want to take those offers up because it releases Medtronic, in this case, from any liability if something happens with your credit or other information.
Did it say who they were offering as a service to protect your credit after they had been hacked? Was it a third party?
It was a third party. I don't recall who it was at this point.
I have certainly received those notices as well through insurance company, a big box store. I've certainly locked down my credit like you, Vivian. But Medtronic says they were hacked in the letter. They offer 2 years of fraud protection in this letter. Does that absolve them of the hacking or the potential that Vivian might be hacked herself as a result?
But that was a question that a legal expert would really should address, but there are some responsibilities. Now, I can only speak for Wisconsin. So Vivian's talking about a Minnesota company and, you know, their laws would differ from ours. But in Wisconsin, if you are a victim of a data breach and the company notifies you, and it's common we hear about these letters, and one of the questions we get is, can I trust them? Should I sign up for these services? And so I'm going to kind of step aside from, does it release them from legal liability? Because that is a question better suited for the legal experts. But one thing we do encourage everyone is, before you react to that letter, is kind of do a quick search online and see if first if it's legitimate. Because we know that scammers are also sending out these data breach letters to get you to sign up for potentially a fictitious service and enter your information for that credit monitoring. Second is looking at, you know, if you think the letter is real, you do determine, you know, what is that third party providing for you? And one of the things we advocate for, you know, outside of a data breach is there's a lot of things that consumers can do on their own. And they can, and we provide a lot of those tips and tools on our website, but that gives you an opportunity to proactively put some safeguards in place. Vivian talked about freezing our credit. That's an excellent one. But then also some warning signs you can look out for. But the credit monitoring service does a lot of those things, but it's just a matter of, you know, the level of effort. You know, what are they going to provide for you versus what you can do for yourself? Some of them are good. You know, some of them, you know, you may be giving information that you don't necessarily need to because you can do all of it very easily yourself. So it's tough to answer this question, and we get it a lot because there's such a variation in what services are being provided, why they're being provided, how long they're being provided. And so it is situational, but I would encourage everyone to just maybe reach out to our web or go to our website, look at some of those things, and then they can make an educated decision on how they react to those letters.
Yeah, evidently, Vivian, according to the news, you were one of millions who may have had personal information taken from this Medtronic company. So you are not alone in that, and a credit freeze would be a good step. And as far as the legal stuff, we'll have to wait until we get an attorney, and then I hope you call back. But thank you for joining us today. Let's go to Tom in Madison next. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I have a Medicare company that keeps calling me, and when I answer, and they call me three times a day, and every call is from a different phone number in a different city in Wisconsin. So you can't really see where they're calling from. And then when you answer the phone, it's AI-generated voice, I believe, in that you can't say, you know, who are you calling from or anything like that. The thing just keeps going with the Medicare pitch. And I'd really like him to quit calling me. It's gone on for a couple of months now.
Is this your cell phone or landline, Tom?
It'd be my cell phone.
Yeah, we hear this every time we talk, Michelle, and one thing is protecting against the scammers, but the other thing is just it's infringing on my life. It's a pest. It's just obnoxious, and I want it to go away. And I think using your own ability to block the numbers, but then as Tom says, they're calling from different numbers every day. So you block one and another one pops up. It's whack-a-mole. And maybe this isn't even in the purview of consumer protection. It's more about quality of life, but how can Tom make it stop?
Yeah, this is a difficult one and something we've certainly seen improvement on since 2019, or 2017 even, with technology advances. But this is where we still need that call of action to consumers for them to report these calls. And that means that yes, it interferes with their life because I have to take an extra step. But if we can get these calls reported, we can work with the Federal Communications Commission, the Federal Trade Commission, our other national consumer protection partners in Wisconsin and across the United States to help break down these call centers. But it means filing a complaint with consumer protection. And what we've tried to do is make it very easy, a fast track form on our website that asks about 5 questions. The phone number that the scammer called, the phone number you have recorded as them having called from, knowing that that could be spoofed, it could be misrepresented, and who your name and what the date and time of the call and what the sales pitch was, like that this was Medicare sales type situation. And then you won't hear from us again, because we're going to take all that information and compound it. If you want to hear from us and you want more information from us, there's a longer form that asks more questions, and we ask for your contact information and your address and things. But take the time to fill this out and report those phone numbers that this is coming from, so we can help break down these rings that are making these calls, because they shouldn't be happening in that they are soliciting and trying to sell something. And we know that there's 2 things happening: either the illegal sales aspect, or it is the scammers just trying to get that personal identifiable information that Michael talked about earlier when we spoke with Martin about the Medicare calls that he's getting.
Well, and it's...
I should add, I'm sorry, Lee, that this is the season. We see this spike right now. It's fall. Open enrollment is coming.
Yeah.
And so this certainly is a spike time of year when these calls are getting to be more in volume and more aggressive in nature.
We'll put a link up to file a consumer complaint on the DATCAP website on today's show page at WPR.org/Lee. But it's also happening to our own team, Michelle. Our producer, Clara, says she gets up to 5 voicemails a day from scam bots lately, and she's been blocking the numbers and reporting them as they come in, but they get to you after a while. Our technical director, Jeff, he says his carrier, AT&T, offers a free service that blocks spam calls, so I don't see them coming in. I'm using the Google Fee or Fire, whatever, cell service, and they've really done a good job of limiting them, or at least showing that potential scam caller and keeping the phone from calling or ringing or vibrating at all. So there are some options out there for you, Tom, but perhaps reporting these numbers to DATCAP would be your best bet. And we'll put a link up again at WPR.org/Lee, so you can link through there. You can also give them a call on their hotline at 1-800-422-7128. And thank you for sharing your story. Let's go to Perry in Oconto next. Hi, Perry.
Yes, I have a question, and maybe you can help or kind of explain. I have Brightspeed for internet and telephone landline services, and I'm not the most happy with them, but now, this last billing cycle, I'm going into the section where it says taxes, fees, and surcharges, and they have your government fees, but this is the first time I've seen this, and it's Brightspeed fees and surcharges. And then they call it a tax recovery surcharge for over $6. Is that something they can just automatically add to a person's bill or not? And I haven't talked to them since I got my bill just a couple days ago.
Tax recovery surcharge on the internet bill, Michael?
Well, first thing I'll say to Perry is the Public Service Commission kind of regulates the fees and what can be charged and cannot for these some of these providers, but we certainly can help with the billing, and we can help with what was offered to you, what you should be paying, and what they might be adding on. I'm not going to say illegally, but maybe just outside what was agreed upon. And so I would really encourage Perry to file a complaint with DATCAP, send in a copy of that bill with it, and then give us an opportunity to look a little closer at what's happening there.
Yeah, Perry, I appreciate that. And maybe the next hour would be an interesting conversation with you as we talk about internet access and internet companies across Wisconsin. Thank you for the call. Tim and Madison, you're next. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Lee? It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding, you know, all of this is, digital electronic computer stuff. But we had a Spectrum guy out because we had trouble hooking up our fiber optic line to the computer. And by the way, shout out to the Spectrum techs. They're super people. You know, don't listen to all this stuff about Spectrum having troubles. The spec techs are good. But anyway, when he came out and we went down to find the problem, in the basement of our unit, which is, I mean, our building, which is many units, probably, 28 units or whatever, there's like this nest of fiber optic cables. And my question is it possible, like you see in the movies where a guy with the two alligator clips can just, go into your hookup and tap your computer so that maybe it's not even being done online at all? It could be being done in the very basement of your apartment complex.
A hardwired hacking.
Lee, I will show my ignorance on this one and just say that I don't know. I certainly have seen in the movies and theoretically how they might be able to tap in, but I cannot speak to the legitimacy of how that actually would happen or could happen in, in Tim's particular situation.
I feel like they're pretty good with identifying routers and internet signals these days, but I do remember back in the college days when you could siphon off the coaxial cable for cable television. So in one apartment building, if one person had cable, everybody had cable. But I think they kind of hammered down on that, and with the identification process that's used to connect to individual routers, I would think that would take an expert level hack and not just some sort of college student being able to tap into somebody's cable TV like the days of old. But it's a technical question, Tim, and I'm sorry we can't answer that for you. But if you see anything suspicious or anything that raises some red flags, I would imagine that would be reason to begin to take action. But I thank you for that. There's another Spectrum one here. Bobby emailed to say he was recently surprised to have an unsolicited caller hang up on him before Bob could hang up on him. When Bob answered the call, he believes the person said they were from Spectrum offering a deal for a limited time. Bob said, "Great, I'm going to call Spectrum and act on this immediately." And they hung up.
Well, it sounds like the scammer is aware of that's not going to be useful anymore. And they know that apparently Bob heard what we were talking about at one point. And so, scammers also value their time. And they realize that this isn't going to work. And they have that long list of numbers that they can pull from. Well, they're just going to move on to the next individual who might answer. That's the same, very similar to when we talk about these computer calls or robocalls that go out. And they're just looking for that first person to connect and engage, because that's in the best use of their time. And so they're looking for that individual or that potential opportunity to maybe make their scam come forward. And that's why Bob just saying, "Hey, I'm not going to do this." They realize it. Off to the next one.
It underscores the importance of bringing in a third party, of not being an isolated person-to-person or person-to-AI connection, but actually reaching out to somebody else to make sure that this is legitimate. And as soon as Bob did this, the illegitimate caller went away. Amy in Milwaukee emailed to say she's curious if either of you feel that these scam calls might lessen when landlines are phased out in 2029. I guess I didn't know landlines were going to be phased out. It sounds as if most of these calls are coming in on landlines. Is that the case, Michelle?
Unfortunately, they are coming in through landlines, voice over internet, the protocol VoIP, and cellular data, cellular phones. I mean, we see them with data. So I think what Amy is and we're hoping for is the technology helps us balance these calls and hang up. And there's been a gap with the landlines and being able to do some of the authenticating of phone calls and that caller identification, verification information in the traditional phone mechanism. So people, I would think, are more vulnerable because they don't have the labels up front on their phones with some of the things in technology that can be used with the mobile devices, the smartphones, in assisting consumers to not answer that call. So there's hope that there will be less impact to consumers as it relates to engaging because of that. But I think we'll still continue to see these calls coming through. They pivot to text message, they go to email, and then social media posts. So they'll find their way to worm in to our time.
And Kevin in Oregon emailed to say he has advanced technology to secure his financial transactions and verified crypto servers, yet his phone lines remain vulnerable to unverified calls. And he's wondering why we can't have a system to certify callers like we do for financial transactions. He says he'd be willing to pay more for a secure communication line. Is that any technology that's in the works? Michael?
Well, that
Michelle?
Oh, well, that goes back to the 2019 legislation that was passed at the federal level, and that's the TRACED Act, and it requires telecommunications providers to authenticate phone numbers and use that authentication protocol, often referred to as STIR-SHAKEN. And they have to validate ownership of numbers and where it's coming from, but there are gaps in ways that scammers are still able to get through and advance their calls, and how it's applied to, again, VoIP phones versus mobile devices and things. So they're continuing to work on advancing that technology and putting those protocols in place. But every time a step is advanced, the scammer figures out how to manipulate that as well. So I think Kevin, you know, is on the right track, and you put in place as a robust system as you can to protect your information and put those guardrails up and lock those doors, and then, you know, peep out the window before you unlock to make sure you want to engage with who's ever on the other side.
Keep sounding like whack-a-mole at Dave and Buster's. Here's an opposite take on this. Connie emailed to say she's missed numerous important calls from her doctor's office because UW Health system evidently does not identify themselves when they call. They come through from unknown numbers that Connie does not recognize, so she does not answer. She says, shouldn't the UW Health system be able to identify itself when it makes calls to patients that may be important? It's a flip side to this story, Michael.
It is a flip side. It's the first I've heard of this, and that's kind of unique. What I would say, though, that's I guess I would just make sure that those calls are really coming from the real UW, because it would surprise me that UW would brand their calls as unknown, especially in 2026 when they know it's oftentimes going to be interpreted as a scam call. But I will also say that even if they were to label them as UW, you know, unfortunately, in the day and age of spoofing where numbers can be manipulated so easily, also not a tried and true guarantee that that's going to be UW.
So a scammer could actually make it appear as though the number is legitimate, or could put UW Health in their caller ID and make it seem like it's important, Michelle?
Yes, they could certainly do that. That's spoofing. But to the reason why UW may be masking those or not is HIPAA. You know, it's medical provider contacting consumer.
Sure.
Are they contacting that end consumer or that end patient? Or is it a family phone? And so HIPAA regulations, I'm sure, are getting in the way to some of the labeling as far as the why aspect. But that's something to talk about with your provider as to how you can get those results to be sure. Is there something that you can sign and give authorization to be leaving that message to verify that the phone is only yours, or that the information can be shared with others, and so that messages can be leaked? But that's a really important aspect to have a discussion, especially if you have ongoing issues and for treatment, and you need to be in contact. And that's why you need to have more communication available to them, and how they can then overcome any regulations that they're trying to balance.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. And again, I want to let you know that the you can file a consumer complaint with DATCAP, and we've put a link up on our webpage at WPR.org/Lee. You can call the Consumer Protection Hotline at 1-800-422-7128. Michelle Reinen, Michael Domke, that's some heavy lifting. Thank you for doing it with us today, and looking forward to having you do it again. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you.
Michelle Reinen, Administrator of DATCAP's Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Michael Domke, Director of DATCAP's Bureau of Consumer Protection. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to WPR News.